Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Mates of Origin podcast. I'm Jess Ross, joined as usual by Elliot Bessely. How's your week been, Elliot?
Yeah, really good. Got two big matches this weekend, so it was really good.
Yeah, it's been good. Long weekend, another long weekend, second in 2 weeks, and some more good footy. What more can you ask?
No, nothing.
So let's with that get straight into the footy. And we opened on Thursday night with a game that, let's be honest, as a Manly fan, I don't particularly want to remember, but we'll do it anyway with what was, to their credit, a good almost comeback for Manly, a much better second half, but that first half was atrocious, wasn't it?
It was. This was a game of two halves, to be honest with you. All six tries from Cronulla were scored in that first half. Largely, I would say, Siosifa Talakai is the main man coming out of that half of footy. Just very dominant on that left edge, big, strong, fast. A different kind of center back than we really seen in a very, very long time. Kind of Mal Meninga-esque almost. He's just so dominant. And this week he really threw his hands up for Origin contention. And I think everybody is now kind of thinking, you know, is he the spokey for Origin? Is he going to be that extra fill-in, that extra push that New South Wales need this year? So very, very impressive from him. Ronaldo Mulitalo, again, continuing his form, is just having a blinder of a season. Can just find the try line like nobody else. He's so brilliant. That Sharks offense looks really sharp and looked extremely sharp in that first half, led again by Nico Hines, who's, you know, in career best form at the moment. But unfortunately, it's very un-Craig Fitzgibbon-like, but their defense in the second half was atrocious. They let in four tries unanswered and let the Seagulls back in that game, because that was a huge blowout in the first half, one of the biggest first half leads we've seen in a very long time. And to see them almost blow that scoreline does not reflect how well Cronulla did, but it does reflect well on Manly, I think. Honestly, I know you say it's something we'd like to remember, but for Manly, I think their ability to come back into that game was very impressive. Ola Kawaitu was great. Cherry Evans and Foran still look good in the halves. Unfortunately, Morgan Harper was dominated on that edge by Talakai, and unfortunately is being dropped this week. So I think that, you know, other than the Morgan Harper being dominated by Talakai on that edge, I think that, you know, things did click for Manly in the second half. They just couldn't come back, but it was impressive. I think for Cronulla, not to take anything away from them, but their defensive resolve needs to be sorted. And if they can sort that, yeah, again, they're a genuine premiership threat this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cronulla were the better team, deserved that win. But I'm also not completely convinced that come finals, come actual people that can play in the front row and not just a single front rower and add Trbojevic back in, I'm not convinced that Manly couldn't do an upset there, though they would still be underdogs.
Yeah, correct. You know, we don't know what Manly could be, but the warning signs were there in that first half.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends which half you try to analyse more. If you try to say the first half is the true Manly, they're a pretty bad team. If you say the second half the real Manly, they're a much better team. And we just need to see. It's the same that you've got through Manly for a while now, but we're not sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So then we moved up to Queensland for the Friday night, which was another game that was a bit of a blowout at times. It was the Broncos taking down the Bulldogs, but also I feel like a lot of the games the Bulldogs face have been blowouts recently.
Yeah, they have. I don't have too much to say about the Bulldogs. That's, you know, incredibly positive, other than Josh Adokar crossed twice. I just there's too much going wrong there at the Dogs to be sorted, you know, within 1 week. I know we have seen a turnaround from other clubs like the Tigers, but the Dogs, unfortunately, last year was really abysmal for them, and this year it's honestly getting worse. I don't know with the Dogs. I feel sorry for Trent Barrett there, but I don't know. On the other side of things, the Broncos were desperate for a win. They need to start proving that they're not at the very bottom of the table, that they can do a lot better than that. And they did. Adam Reynolds was fantastic in that game. Essential to the Broncos' attack. Everything that went right was coming through Adam Reynolds. His control, his poise, his kicking ability, his leadership, it is just phenomenal. And he's still showing that even at, you know, the later half of his career, he is still, you know, one of the best halves going around. That was impressive. Selwyn Cobo as well impressed me, and so did Corey Oates.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially with Reynolds, we're finally starting to see why the Broncos made that move and brought him in from Souths.
No, it was one of the best. I think Gus Gould came on this week and said that it was the buy of the season. That's, for me, a way too big of a hyperbole for me, but it's a very, very strategic, strong buy from the Broncos, who were missing that leadership on the field. They were missing. They've got a lot of young heads coming through the Broncos. They've got a lot of talent and a lot of good young players, but they were missing that old leadership, gritty, attacking prowess, somebody that can set attacking structures and really, you know, execute those to the NRL standard, but further beyond that. So I think, unfortunately, for the other Broncos halves that have been there, they haven't managed to do that. They haven't managed to be really at the caliber anywhere near of Adam Reynolds. And that's why we're seeing this difference in the Broncos team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Adam Reynolds playing well on field has been a huge benefit to them, but I think it was just as much that off-field mentorship role that they brought him in for, more so than the actual to lead the team, even though it is good. And I'm sure they're really happy to see him performing on field.
Yeah, definitely.
So then we do move up to Queensland, where we had another Queensland derby. It was the Cowboys Titans, and how good were those Cowboys? So then we move up to Townsville for a Queensland derby. It was Cowboys Titans, and how good were those Cowboys?
Yeah, very good. I've been coming out every week and giving the Cowboys praise. I think on everything that I'm on, and I'm still going to do that. Todd Payton has turned this side around. No, they're not a top eight team, but we didn't think they were going to be. They are so much better than we are giving, you know, them credit for. Jeremiah Nana was unlucky to get sent off in that game, sent to the bin, but he's been so good for them. Just a really, really good finding. Tulangi did, and Drinkwater was fantastic. Drinkwater was really, really good. And Tal Malolo is also starting to find his feet a bit more in that squad. Tom Dearden, you know, is starting to work off him, as is Chad Townsend. So, you know, it's a lot better, a lot better signs for the Cowboys than we would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I really like what I see from them. It's a huge turnaround. I like seeing that they're a team. I don't think I have a lot of reason to dislike, so I'm really happy to see some success out of them.
Yeah, and, you know, on the other side of things, for the Titans, yeah, it's another team for me that's just, they're struggling for identity at the moment. They're struggling to put any points on the board, and they're struggling to get any type of attacking structure going in that team. I'm surprised that Jaden Campbell isn't back in that team yet. There must be something going on that we don't quite know. We're not privy to, but I don't know. David Fifita into the centres. I don't know if that was the right move. AJ Brimson and Toby Sexton. They looked a bit clunky. I don't know with the Titans. They're a bit in and out, hot and cold for me each and every week. So I think that with the Titans, they should be doing a lot better than they are. But yeah, it's a team that's really struggling at the moment.
Yeah, for Feeder as a center was a weird decision.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that did come about was the interesting bit near the end where it was pretty clear to seemingly everyone but the bunker that Tamalolo had taken a head impact.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know if I can comment on it too much. It's one of those ones that don't get picked up but should have been picked up, but hopefully they learn from it and we move on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a weird decision. I'm hoping that was a once-off mistake because other things that the NRL has done this week has proven that they actually are starting to be a bit more serious about the injury. So you just need to get that consistency.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm sure you're really happy to be talking about this next game. It was probably the upset of the round. It was another late game field goal to win it for the West Tigers, this time against Souths.
Yeah, I was at this match doing some work for it. And look, I've been saying this for a while now. I've been publicly ridiculing Luke Brooks. I think he's been given the villain role at the West Tigers for, you know, the better half of a decade now. But I've never had a problem with Luke Brooks, the person, the man that he is. I spoke to him after the game and look, unfortunately, he hasn't been in the right structures. He hasn't been in the right system to flourish. He's had some decent performances. We know he's quick. He had that runaway try, and a field goal to win it. He looked a lot better, in this game. And I think that comes down to Jackson Hastings. And I don't want to give Luke Brooks's praise to Jackson Hastings, other than I think that they're a really, really good combination in the halves there. And Madge has kind of possibly struck gold. I'm not saying that they're going to be a top eight team by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they're going to be better than a lot of people have given them credit for. It'll be interesting to see when Adam Dewey comes back into this lineup, where he does fit. I don't quite know how they're going to play it. There's talk if he'll go into the halves, you know, one week, if Brooks will take to nine and Dewey will go to six and Hastings will stay at seven. I don't yet know. But from the Tigers' point of view, David Nofoloma, you know, is try scoring like he used to. And Hastings, he's got the most touches out of any half in the game at the moment. He is so critical to that team. He always wants his hands on the ball. And that's so good to see. And on another note, to give praise to players in that Tigers team, Alex Twall is unbelievable in defense. I mean, he is such a wrecking ball. He's been on the field, you know, every single game this season. And I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he's only missed two tackles all season. That's unbelievable. Just a machine, an absolute machine, and exactly what you want in the middle for your team. He did get sent to the bin, unfortunately, but yeah, amazing. Jacob Little was really good. That rundown, tackle-saving effort, try-saving effort. You know, I can harp on about the Tigers all day long, but all I have to say is to all those people that doubted Madge, doubted Brooks, I'll include myself as one of them. You know, I'm so happy to be wrong. I'm so happy to be wrong on this issue because the Tigers have turned it around. I know it's only two games, but you can't say it's not looking good.
Yeah, absolutely. Do I think the Tigers are going to make finals? No. But The Tigers have now kept themselves out of wooden spoon conversation for a while. And from where they were at the start of the season, that is a significant development from them.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge development. You know, on the other side of things, I don't think Souths were that bad. Obviously, they scored as many tries as the Tigers did. Keon Kalamatangi was good again. But, you know, even in that post-match press conference, when Dimitri was asked about what was happening with South, they just didn't quite get it right. And he kept repeating that, but he kept saying, you know, nothing to take away from the Tigers. I don't want to take away from the Tigers because that was a good performance from them. And it's very rare that you see a coach come out and not criticize his own team, the other team, anything. Just say, you know what, we were outplayed on the day. And that's that. And we'll go back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think internally, I'm sure the Rabbits will be disappointed with what I'm sure they were expecting to be an easy win.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully for them, they can take away some stuff from that when realistically they've got some tough games that they will need to find wins for now.
Yes, definitely.
Speaking of another team that's been struggling lately, the Knights continue their slump after a very successful start, but not as great follow-up and going down to the Knights this time.
Well, you know, well, we talk about it being this amazing start to the season that the Knights had, but we're purely seeing that based off, you know, the type of play they did. Two wins is what the Tigers have done, you know, we don't hold the Tigers to that same level because the Knights won two at the start of the season and the Tigers win two, you know, in round six and seven. So we don't hold them to the same standard as the Knights, where we should be. The Knights are a team that are wildly falling out of favor. Like, they beat the Roosters round one, which was, you know, an upset, but it's round one. And then they beat the Tigers. Like, that's it. It's not like they've blown the league away. But in those two rounds, they were playing good football. Their halves were combining. Their middles were attacking well and defending well. They had some sort of structure to them. They looked like a team with effort, with ability, but they've just fallen off. Last week was good from Kalen Ponga. This week, he went missing again. And this is the problem with Kalen. He's a superstar of our game. And when he's at his best, he's at his best. But there's so many question marks around him. Yes, he's injury prone. Yes, he has the tendency to come in and out of games. You know, is he that great of a defender? I don't know. And he's struggling. He's just signed a huge contract there. And I don't know, with the Knights, they're massively, massively struggling. And I'd have to hope for them that they can bounce back for this, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah. So I know that we talked a bit while we were recording last week about that Ponga extension, mostly speculative because it hadn't happened. It then proceeded to break that news while I was editing. So I had to cut a bit. So what are your general thoughts on that extension?
Look, I think that extension was always going to happen, in the sense that Kalen has made it very clear that he's always loved Newcastle. He wants to play there. It's long been his dream to continue playing there. The only thing that could lure him away is if the Knights just weren't willing to come to the table and agree to terms and the amount of money that he really feels he's worth, and he is worth. So those offers obviously came in from the Dolphins because they're the only team that could potentially buy him, have the ability and have the funds to do it. But as soon as the Knights, I think, presented this offer, and obviously there were some little problems surrounding the announcement of it. The deal was off, the deal was on, the deal was off again and on again. But at the end of the day, everybody came to terms. It's been signed. We don't exactly know how much it is. It's definitely over $1 million for 5 years at the Knights, and that really secures him there. And I personally don't know if this was the right move for Kalen. I understand his loyalty. I understand his passion for the Hunter, and great for Knights fans, great for the league that the Knights have still that superstar there. But for Kalen Ponga, I'm just talking about him as a person. The last few years have been in and out for him of form. He's been very good and very average at points. And now we see him signing at the Knights, who are really not looking all that flash hot. And in the next 5 years, do I see them winning a premiership now?
Yeah.
Do I think that Kalen Ponga should be in a premiership contending side? Yeah. So do I think that the Knights will win the premiership in the next 5 years? No, I don't think they will win a premiership in the next 5 years. I can't see that happening. And for Kalen, I think he should be at a premiership contending club. He's too talented of a player not to be. And I applaud him for his loyalty, but I question whether this was the right move for his career.
Yeah, I think those concerns certainly make a lot of sense. This, I think we've always said that Newcastle has become the Kalen Ponga club.
Yeah.
And I think this move confirms that in both parties' minds, that Kalen believes that the Knights should be the Kalen Ponga club and that the Knights agree. So I think it's good that they seem to be on the same, they seem to be in the same view regarding that, but I also understand those concerns about he probably won't be able to win a premiership in Newcastle.
Yeah. And look, and then that's not, you know, going back to that game, saying that, you know, that they played awful is correct, but the Eels needed to bounce back from what seems to be a blip with the Tigers. A bit of a, you know, when you're a bit hot to trot, you kind of rest on your laurels, and that's what the Eels did last week, I believe. I still think they're, again, a premiership heavyweight this year. Isaiah Papali'i was fantastic. You know, yeah, he's coming to the Tigers next year. I'm happy about that. But for this year, he remains an Eel, and he was very good. Mitchell Moses keeps right up there in the Dally M, you know, in that second position. Still playing fantastic football, best of his career, and he's combining great with Dylan Brown. So it's good signs for the Eels. I know they did have a tough loss last week. They'll be tough to swallow, but, you know, they bounced back this week pretty.
And so then as we get through to the later games of the round, blowouts do start to become a bit common. And the next one of those was the Panthers taking down the Raiders. But, yeah, it's not that surprising. It's pretty evident now that the best two teams in the comp are Panthers Storm.
Yeah, honestly, I thought the Panthers could pile on more points than this, given the Raiders at the moment. You know, we speak about Trent Barrett potentially being under a lot of scrutiny there at the Dogs, but I think the same is with Ricky Stewart. I don't know if he's had his time there and it's starting to come to an end. With Ricky, I don't know. The Raiders, they don't even have, they have a few shining lights for them, but it's hard to pick out that many great players at the Raiders that are playing well. They have good players. I'm not saying they don't have good players, but that are playing well. Jack Whiten has been good at times this season, but he's fallen off a little bit. Xavier Savage is a shining light. Mick Kotrick. They have good players. Josh Papali. But, you know, it's just not clicking there. And I don't know what it is for the Raiders, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like this season's going to go their way in any way, shape, or form. But for the Panthers, yeah, they continue their unbeaten streak. Not surprising at all. Stephen Crichton is so brilliant, really starting to stand up. So Isaiah Yeo is having a great season you know, he's improving each and every week, which is amazing to think, you know, that he is doing that. New South Wales are in for a treat when he joins that squad inevitably. He's just playing so well now. And so is everybody at the Panthers. Like, it's hard to pick out players that aren't playing so well. I don't know. Again, it's one of those teams that up there with the Storm, they're two teams that I don't know that I would change anything to the lineup given I had another player to add. Mm. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't know if I would add them to that lineup because that lineup is working. That lineup is clicking. You know, they have the chemistry. They have the ability. They have everything going for them now. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't change it. So things are looking up for the Panthers in general. Ivan Cleary, Nathan Cleary signing on two huge monster deals to keep them at the club pretty much indefinitely. So it's just all going up for the Panthers.
Mm. The Panthers at this point can do no wrong, it looks like.
Yeah.
But also on the Ricky Stewart thing, I think the one thing that really keeps him in conversation for keeping his job more so than Barron is that that 24-19 win to the Sharks in round one looks a lot better in hindsight.
Yeah, it does. But again, I think the reason that Ricky is staying along there is because he has the blessing and the love from the board, from ex-players and from fans because he is an ex-club legend there. And, you know, I personally think that I don't know if Ricky can go any further than he has. He's taken them to one grand final and I don't see him doing it again. Unfortunately for Ricky, he's done a lot in this game, but I can't see him continuing on with the Raiders and I don't want it to end sour. I don't want it to end how it could go down where we've seen in the past, you know, these club legends end up coaching, doing well. And then as soon as they fall out of favor, they spin out of everybody's mind is this villain when Ricky Stewart should always be held as a hero amongst the Canberra ranks. And I hope for them that this relationship doesn't go sour.
Mm. I think it's always a challenge that I think often in sports, people assume good player will lead to good coaching when there's plenty of players who have been incredible players, but aren't really great coaching. And no,
Ricky's had a great coaching career. Don't get me wrong. Ricky's had a fantastic, illustrious coaching career in both at both Origin level and at club level, but it's just not clicking for him at the moment.
Hmm. Yeah, it's you don't want to see that relationship end on a poor note, but it's looking like it might, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so the next one was probably another very surprising result, which was St. George finally got their win on the Anzac Day matchup.
Yeah, you know, Anzac Day is always a special day on all of our calendars and it's a special day for rugby league. They do it great. It's always a contest. This is what I say every single Anzac Day. Throw out whatever form guide you're looking at because it doesn't matter. Anzac Day is different. Both clubs are going to show up and they're going to show their best. And it's going to be a game. For the Roosters, to touch on them, I've been saying this over and over again. Their wins have been okay and their losses have been bad. There's been, you know, I think the Roosters aren't even nearly at their best, but they don't seem to be able to unlock it right now. And it's not like they don't have the lineup to do it. And that's why I'm surprised that they haven't been able to do it. You know, Tedesco, Manu, Joseph Suwali look great this week, though. But Sam Walker, Luke Keary looks like he's come back from a bad injury. And he's just not as fast as he used to be. He's not as agile as he used to be. And that's not to take anything away from Luke Keary, but things there, Satili Tupanua, Angus Crichton, their lineup is fantastic. And it is very odd that they're not clicking, but they look clunky. They look way too clunky, way too, I don't even know the word for it, in attack. They just look like something's amiss there. And it's very weird to see with such a good lineup. I know that, lots of fans were commenting on Facebook and everything this week that, oh, why wasn't Victor Radley starting and Jared Rhea Hargreaves? That would have changed the game a lot for them. And Trent Robinson didn't answer to that, but he actually did. What he did say after the game, and I heard this personally, was that there was a flu going through the Roosters squad this week, and both of them were infected with that flu. And all week it was the plan for them to both play, but given what had happened to them this week, Robbo just thought it would be better to start them off the bench. So it's not taking away anything from Victor or from Jared. It was just a medical thing. But even still, the Roosters disappointed on Anzac Day. And I was there at that game. A lot of Roosters fans walked out very unimpressed. And I thought they were a genuine premiership favourite this year. Do I think they'll still make the eight? Definitely. Do I think they're a premiership contender? I don't think so anymore. I can't see it happening. These first seven rounds, they haven't been all that good, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when, if Tedesco does improve, yes, he'll be good for them. But if he does improve, he's a lock for Origin. If he doesn't, with a player like Tedesco, picking him for Origin shouldn't be even a question. And yet there are starting to be potential options that might not be him at the fullback.
No, there's two parts to that. No, he hasn't been in, the best form out of any fullback that New South Wales has. But number one, Origin is a pick and stick type of game. He is their captain. And in the Origin cauldron itself, he has been fantastic. And that's, not taking anything away from Teddy, who is an absolute leader amongst that New South Wales team. I don't think that they will change that. I very highly doubt they will change anything. Tedesco has such an influence over that squad. He is the captain. He is their main person at the back. Yes, there may be better fullbacks on form, but if you look at Tedesco's Origin form, and Origin is its own arena, it's its own cauldron, then Tedesco definitely will be picked, and I think he'll stand up and deliver yet again for New South Wales.
We'll obviously go more in depth about fullback options and where people can play as we get a bit closer to Origin, and that starts to shape itself out, but that New South Wales side has got some really interesting questions.
Yeah, definitely.
And so we take everything you've said about Anzac Day having often competitive, exciting games and stuff like that, and we chuck it out all the window as we head down to Melbourne to watch what was an absolute thrashing.
Well, this, I meant Anzac Day, Roosters, Dragons clash. And to go back to the Dragons just for a second.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from the Dragons at all, who are very, very good. Ben Hunt was incredible for the Dragons, such a leader in that team, such a difference. He's up there in the Dally M this year, such a difference maker in that team, and he was outstanding this weekend. So props to Ben Hunt. But moving down to Melbourne, this game, I mean, I keep making excuses for the Warriors, and I keep wanting to make excuses for the Warriors. They haven't been home in literally years now. They have players with potential clauses in their contract. I mean, we're hearing that Reece Walsh potentially has a clause in his contract that says he will never play when the Warriors are based in New Zealand. This is a potential clause in his contract. Once Warriors move back to New Zealand, after that, he's out. He's bouncing from the club. He just doesn't want to live in New Zealand. I think Redcliffe will be happy to hear that. But they just have players. I think Ewan Aitken has something like that in his contract as well. There just doesn't seem to be any chemistry up there. I love the Sean Johnson buy. I think Sean Johnson is a club legend, but this is literally, and it couldn't be a better comparison because the exact almost same players I don't want to take anything away from Benji Marshall, but with Benji Marshall and the Tigers, this is what happened. Benji left the club. He then came back to the club at the end of his career, and he was good, and he was a leader amongst that club, but he was also aging and aging fast, didn't have the speed, didn't have the ability that he may have had, and it's costing them. It's costing them big time. I don't know with the Warriors what the answer is there. I know I've said that a lot, but the Warriors, Aaron Penne will take a one-match ban as well. For that high tackle, things couldn't go worse for the Warriors right now. And, yeah, I'd hate to think what's going to happen to them when they move back to New Zealand and next season. I really hope that they can recruit some talent, but it's tough, very tough.
I mean, the challenge for them is basically comes down to the fact that unlike pretty much any other NRL club, their region is a predominantly union region.
Well, yes, and the problem is signing players is not that hard of a thing to do if you've got money and you've got a bit of talent to bring them to the club. But to ask a player to uproot their life and move to a new country and to move to a new culture, it's a shockwave to the system. It's completely different. So for Sean Johnson, it was effortless. He's a Kiwi. It's easy for him to move back. And that's why we've seen a lot of the best Warriors players, Roger Tuivasa, Sheck, Stacey Jones, Sean Johnson, have all been Kiwis. Because they can live there. They understand the way of life, you know, coming to Aussie and playing, you know, well, going back to New Zealand because that's where their family is. But for players like Rhys Walsh, it's different.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a pretty similar country, but even just moving that distance in general is a big commitment and can get hard. Absolutely. Even though they're not two different countries in some ways compared to a lot of other countries.
You can't even compare the two, you know, living 5 hours on an international flight away from your family and friends in a different country, different culture, different weather system, different everything. And then on top of that, playing at a struggling club. I don't know why you would do that to yourself if you're not already a Kiwi. Why would you go over there and take on that task when you could probably sign the same type of deal here in Australia? So, you know, we'll have all this expansion talk and will it be another New Zealand team? But for mine, I think it's the wrong move, completely the wrong move to add another New Zealand team yet to the comp.
Yeah, I think if you want to add another New Zealand team, you need to answer one important question. And that is, what are we doing to get more young Kiwi players and more established Kiwi players to pick league over union?
I would honestly, we just saw it in Super Rugby. I'd like to see Fijian teams, Papua New Guinea teams before I see another New Zealand team. Honestly, they have such good talent there and they have a market that's, yes, union dominated, but you know, if a team comes into the league, those guys can be shifted easily. They have no alliance to anything, and to see the passion and pride with that nation just to pause for a second to go to the Super W competition. Fiji and Drua Women's won it in their first year against all odds. And absolutely incredible. Congratulations to those girls that did that. An unbelievable victory and an incredible season was capped off in their first year in that competition. So I'd love to see those. And the culture and the spirit that they would bring to this league, I honestly think it's not that bad a move outside of the major cities, outside of Perth, Tasmania, which I don't think will get a team. I can't see another New South Wales team getting it, although I would like the Bears to come back for my own personal reasons. But
if it's New South Wales, it'd be somewhere more regional.
Yeah, it would be. But they just don't have the funding. And that's why clubs like Redcliffe were a very well established undergrade team coming in.
Yeah, and also with Panji, you have got, a bunch of good talent coming in. You've got Olam in the men's, you've got Elsie Albert in the women's, coming in and playing some good games.
Yeah, and then they are playing in the Reggies division. They're playing, really, really good teams, and they bring a different style of football, and I love to see it.
Absolutely. League is starting to really benefit from a lot more Islanders, even more so than in the past, and I think it's time to start bringing that sort of building teams and working with that region more.
Yeah, we saw that when Tonga beat Australia last year.
Absolutely. And so with the Storm, I don't think there's that much to say that we haven't said. They are an incredible team.
I forgot about them because I thought it's so obvious. I mean, I don't know where to start on that. Again, that was as well-rounded of a performance as you'll see. 16 points at halftime, you'd think, that's all right. But God damn, that blew out so quickly, and it just started really getting a roll on. And then you thought, oh, this has got to stop at some time, but it just didn't. And to think they had 82 points on offer there, if Pappenhausen kicks all of those 13 tries. Amazing. Xavier Coates crosses four times. Pappenhausen, as I said, was amazing. Jerome Hughes, fantastic. Oh, Nelson Osafa-Solomona kicking to Ryan Pappenhausen. That's rugby league poetry in motion. Yeah, a forward kicking to a fullback. Well, when does that happen? Who tries something like that? And you can only try something like that if you're a team as good as the Storm. And I don't know. I'll put that win into perspective for people of how good it actually is. Take a look at the ladder right now. Scroll down to where the Bulldogs are at and look at how many points the Bulldogs have scored. You will find the Bulldogs have scored in total 70 points this season. 70 points in seven rounds of football. The Storm just did that this round. One round, they scored as many as a team has scored in 7 weeks of football. So I don't know if that's absolutely terrible for the Bulldogs or just so amazing for the Storm or just a bit of both. So congratulations to the Storm. Yet again, a powerhouse.
Also,
an awesome win.
And so, other than that for the Storm, just cut and paste all the things we say, Pappenhausen, Munster, all the usual culprits, really good at footy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to say other than that.
Yeah, I think the one thing I have to say about that is I think at this point, Magic Round will decide the minor premiership.
Yeah, I believe that as well, yeah.
I think it's very hard to see many other clubs getting them. I think whoever wins between those two puts themselves in a huge spot for that minor premiership.
Yeah.
So before we go into the actual preview, I think we are really starting to see, I think, those tiers of teams form. I think Panthers Storm are the battle for the top two. I think Eels and Sharks are looking like the ones that will be joining them in the top four. And you've got a bunch of everyone else competing for the rest of the eight.
Yep.
Which at the moment would be Cowboys, Roosters, Manly and the Rabbits.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
So with that, Let's move into round eight of footy. And it's not likely that the Broncos are getting another win here as they take the Sharks on.
Yeah, I think the Sharks are this one for me. The Sharks win it. For the Broncos, a big shout out to Tam Murray Martin. Always enjoyed watching him play. He was a Tiger for a bit. And he, the story of him coming back, look into it in your own time about, you know, his brain injury. He's been out for, you know, 3 years on the sidelines. You wouldn't have ever thought to see him again in an NRL lineup. So to see him not in a reserve match, not in any type of local league, he is playing fullback for the Brisbane Broncos in first grade in round eight. Fantastic story. Congratulations to the Martin family and to him. Amazing, amazing story. And one of rugby league's best that we have seen. But I don't think that things are going to go the Broncos' way. And actually, you know what? Talking about that, I want to give, you know, a huge shout out to Nathan Stapleton. Please, if you haven't already, look out for this story that is coming through. Nathan Stapleton was a fantastic player for the Cronulla Sharks, and he suffered an absolutely horrific injury this weekend. And he has been left a quadriplegic, and it's terrible. It's a horrible, horrible story. So, you know, from everybody here at the Mates of Origin to Edge of the Crowd, a huge shout out to his family. We hope you're all right. We hope you're doing well. And we're all rallying behind Nathan, and, you know, we hope he can recover from this injury and make his way back to the game in any way he can, because he has been such an ornament to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Injuries are awful. It's an unfortunate part of sport that is always going to be there. And it's always a shame to see good players lose time due to them.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a life-altering injury for Nathan. And, the Sharks have rallied around. There's been a lot of good GoFundMe pages. So if anybody listening is able to donate, please do donate to that cause. Just a big shout out to him. When I thought about the Sharks, I immediately thought about Nathan and his family. So, and, you know, that is also going to be playing on the minds of the Sharks. The Sharks will rally around Nathan and his family this weekend. I'm sure there'll be some type of fundraiser at the game. There'll be something going on for his family, and the Sharks will want to do it for him, do it for a club legend. And it's just another reason that I think the Sharks will win this weekend, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's too many signs pointing towards it. I really like the Sharks this season. I think it's hard not to say Sharks.
Yeah.
And then in an even easier tip for this round, we move to Friday. You want to pick the Panthers or you want to pick the Titans to win?
Well, the Titans, just to say about the Titans, I know I just said that their lineup, you know, is ordinary. They've just reshuffled everything this week again. AJ Brimson moves to fullback. Jermaine Asako has been left out of that starting lineup. He'll move into the reserves, and Philip Sami retains his spot on the wing. David, coming back from injury, David Fidd will move back to the second row. It's interesting. It's interesting. I think that potentially, they say that Jaden Campbell is ready now to join the first grade squad, and that could be a late change to that squad. So I would watch out that potentially Will Smith, in my opinion, will not play six. AJ Brimson will be moved back to six, and Jaden Campbell will join the squad at fullback, but we don't quite know yet exactly what will happen. The Panthers are 1-17 pretty much. Sione Lukey, who made his debut last week, will be on the bench, and it's the exact same team. And I think that Brian Tuo is only a week or two away from returning. So great signs. An easy Panthers win. Can't say any more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then we move to the second Friday night game, which I think is going to be really interesting. It's Manly Rabbits, and that is really starting to show us who is in that top eight and who's just missing out, I think.
Yeah, for the Rabbitohs, no real changes to their lineup other than Tane Milne will be out for suspension. So Isaiah Tass will come into the centres for his second NRL game. And Jacob Hoste is also out with a shoulder injury. So Silver Havili will join the bench there for the Rabbitohs, meaning in a pretty unchanged lineup in a team that went down to the Tigers last week. So I'm going to go with Manly, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rabbitohs do fight back in this match. I think that, you know, Manly have changed their lineup a little bit, but only through, not so much injury as well. Martin Tapau is out with COVID. Sean Kepi is out with a head knock. So Totofoa Sipley will be on the bench. And Morgan Harper has been dropped from that lineup. I don't think that comes as a surprise for anyone. Homolo Koatu, sorry, is out for a week as well, being suspended. But yeah, I unfortunately for Morgan, Kolo will be moving into the centres there, and his position looks to be gone. Morgan would have to do something, you know, very incredible in reserve grade, I think, to come back into this lineup. He is deserving, but yeah, it's just one of those things. That's the nature of the beast that is NRL. So shame for him. Manly will be happy that, and still there's two Trbojevic's in the side. One of them is not Tom Trbojevic. It is Burbo. So there's Burbo, Gerbo, and Turbo. So we've got Burbo and Gerbo playing this week. So, yeah, the Trbojevic is, I don't really need to go into how good Ben Trbojevic is as a player, because his last name says it all.
Yeah. I don't know if he's quite as good as his brother, but that is a very, very
high bar. People rate him just as highly as his brothers, so I'd watch out.
Yeah. Can Manly just have that one family and just entirely be the Trbojevic family?
Yeah, well, it is the Trbojevic team in some ways.
Yeah. But also, yeah, it's also interesting because I think both teams have had disappointing losses last week for different reasons. Manly really come off a magnitude loss in that first half, at least, to being torn apart. And South's trying to come back off a loss against a team they probably should have beat.
Yeah.
So with that, we move to the Saturday games. And for that, we start with Warriors-Raiders, which Raiders really need to start getting a win here.
This game, for me, is a bit of a must-see. Unfortunately for both teams, I don't think, other than fans, a ton of people are going to tune in on a Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. And it's at Morton Daly Stadium in Redcliffe, which is, it's so tough because it's not a Warriors home game, even though it is, and it's not a Raiders home game. So to think that many people are going to get out there, Yeah, I tough game, tough crowd. It's going to be, I don't know, flip a coin for the winner for this one. I'm going to go with Raiders because the Warriors are just got pumped this week. As did the Raiders, actually. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's really, it can go either way. And I think we already know what the conversation is going to be like for the winner and for the loser. We just don't know which team will fill which role. Then we get probably less competitive, but still one of the teams is still not great. We've got the Bulldogs taking on the Roosters, which if the Roosters can't get a win here, that is huge red flags.
Yeah. The Roosters, for me, will win here and hopefully win very, very, very well. They should dominate. I think that Brent Naden and Jake Avarillo returned from their COVID stints last week. So Jaden Ockenbaugh and Jacob Kiraz, who made his debut, will be out. And for the Roosters, not surprisingly, I don't think we spoke about it, but Daniel Tupou is out. Does not surprise me that he is out for 1 week, taking an early guilty plea at the judiciary tonight. And Jared Rea Hargraves and Victor Radley are back into that starting lineup. Siosia Takiaho and Nat Butcher will start from the bench. But going to that Daniel Tupou incident, I was there. I was watching it live. I was sitting amongst other NRL journalists that were there, and none of us could believe that he wasn't sent off. I think that there was even a look. I asked Trent Robinson directly in that press conference, does he think he should have been sent off? He didn't want to answer the question because obviously he knows what had occurred. And then you kind of got Hook coming out saying that was ridiculous. And he's right. In Magic Round last year, you would have been sent off and, you know, got 6 weeks of the judiciary last year for this. And we saw the same thing. Look at Jack Hetherington's hit earlier on this season. Look what put him out for 5 weeks. And look at the Daniel Tupou one. They are not all that dissimilar. So to say Daniel Tupou got off lightly is an understatement. I honestly can't believe he is so lucky have gotten away with this in the way he has.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very clear that the NRL weren't happy with this. There's been a couple recently, but I think this has been the most vocal they've been in being dissatisfied with an umpire's performance.
Well, I'd like to see, you know, Abdo came out after the match, 10 minutes after the match, he was on radio saying that they got the call wrong, 10 minutes afterwards. So if the NRL CEO is going to go out 10 minutes after the game and say that they got the call wrong, what are we doing? Adam G has been dropped for this round, but Daniel Tupou then went to the judiciary tonight and got 1 week on an early guilty plea. It's amazing. It's just... I don't understand. I can live with a 1 week suspension. I can live with it if there is consistency and structure amongst punishments that players are equal. I can live with it. 1 week is fine. But with these things that are, you just never know what they're going to get, I just don't know. I can't understand the judiciary's reasoning behind this when surely was brought up by you know, somebody in that judiciary meeting that it wasn't that dissimilar to Jack Hetherington's.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I'm sure, a call that the NRL will not want to be doing again.
No.
So then with that, we move on to what is almost certainly going to be the game of the round. We're up in Darwin for the Eels taking on the Cowboys. Yeah. So then we move up to Darwin for what's almost certainly going to be the game of the round with the Eels taking on the Cowboys.
Yeah, definitely the game of the round for me. It'll be up in Darwin, which will be interesting. Hot up there, different conditions. The only thing I have to say about this game, both teams are pretty much 1-17. They are, but Dylan Brown in the centres? I'm still not understanding that. Why Jake Arthur at 6 and Mitchell Moses at 7? Why is Dylan Brown in the centres? Don't quite understand it. Maybe it's a tactical move. But it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, of course, there's also the possibility that that does change between now and it wouldn't be the first time that they've announced.
No, yeah, there's a very good possibility that Brad Arthur's pulling a fast one on us. A very distinct possibility.
I remember the completely relevant anecdote, but I remember last year the Western Bulldogs and the AFL submitted, it was during Magic Round, yes. I remember reacting to this, the weirdest lineup card ever. Because I was up on Magic Round and my friend and I was classic, it was like, what on earth is this?
I remember this. And the NRL also talked about it and said how unsportsmanlike it is to do something like that. But I don't know. I thought it was funny.
It's funny.
I think it's
funny. I thought it was hilarious.
I don't know.
Yeah, just playing players in positions that we're obviously not going to play them.
You have to have a good set of kahunas on you to pull off a move like that and not expect to be ripped apart by the media or NRL 360 on Tuesday.
Yeah. I want someone to do it. I'm not saying I don't want someone to do it, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, Craig Bellamy, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, list Pappenhausen in the forwards or something like that.
Yes, please do.
But back to actual footy, that should be the really exciting game. Both teams, Eels looking like a top four team, Cowboys at the moment knocking on that, so it will be interesting to see how that ends up.
Yeah.
And so then on the Sunday games, it's presumably the Storm continuing the Steamroller Express, this time taking down the Knights, presumably.
The Storm, they play two ordinary teams in a row, and this could get ugly again for the Knights. This could get ugly real quick, especially considering they're losing Dane Gaugai, who has suffered a fractured cheekbone, will miss some time for this game. Storm are pretty much 1-17. Why in the world would you change this lineup unless there's injuries? I do not know. Other than I think Tyron Wishart comes into that bench role. Very strong squad.
Yeah. They're a top two team for a reason.
Well, yes.
And finally, we will finish off this round with Dragons Tigers, which considering the team the Tigers have taken down in the past few rounds, wouldn't be their toughest matchup.
No, it's not. I think this game's quite evenly matched, considering both are coming off two decent wins now. Probably Tigers more impressive. I don't know. But the Dragons are missing a few key players. Jack Bird has broken his arm and will be out. But that's what I thought. And then I had a look at the lineups, and Jack Bird is named at 5'8". I thought we were reading reports that he had broken his arm. So I don't know what's quite going on there at the Dragons. Maybe this is what we're talking about. Maybe this is a tactical move. I don't know. Josh Maguire takes the place of Jaden Sua, who's out with an ankle injury, and Tyrell Fumiona comes into the interchange. I will comment on the fact I don't know why Tyrell Sloan is not in the first grade squad. I can't quite understand it, but something Hook must know more about than I do. And for the Tigers, Stafford Toa comes in for Dane Laurie, who's out for a number of weeks with an MCL injury. And Kelma Tuolangi is going to be back in that back line. So Alex Seifert will shift to the bench.
Exactly. So yeah, that seems like it's going to be an interesting match, but that does wrap up our round for, pardon me, that does wrap up our round 8. And with that, we will be back next week to wrap up those games and, of course, preview round 9. But before we properly wrap up, Elliot, how can people find you on the socials?
They can find me on Twitter or on Instagram at Elliot_Vesely. So that's at @ELLIOT_VESELY.
And you can find me on Twitter at _JessicaRoss. That's _JessicaRoss. The podcast you can find on socials at Mates of Origin. And we are part of the Editor Cloud Network, where you can find Elliot and my articles on rugby league, as well as a bunch of other sports, culture, and politics content at edgeofthecrowd.com and edgeofthecrowd on socials. Thank you for listening, as always, and we will be back next week. Bye.